Don't be the devil's fool. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. And standing behind Jesus Christ is the greatest guarantor you could ever have, God Almighty. And He guarantees the minute you put your hope in Jesus Christ, He will never let you down.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message called Christmas Hope. This is the third chapter of the exciting four-part series entitled Behold. Now, to introduce today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
We can live without a lot of things in this life, but one thing we can't do without is hope. Hope is the oxygen of the soul, the push behind all of our motivations, the lifeblood of human existence. Without hope, you really don't live, you simply exist. This is why the Christmas message is so vital today. With the coming of Jesus to earth on that first Christmas morn, hope was part of the package. The Bible says, His name shall be the hope of the world. Jesus brought hope into a hopeless world. The hope of peace with God, the hope of freedom from the guilt of sin, the hope of eternal life, and the hope of a promising tomorrow. When we read the morning news, we see a world desperate for hope. So often it seems that evil is winning the day. Endless reports of evil terrorism beset us, of wicked tyrants threatening to wipe out entire nations, terrible deeds committed against others, bloodshed, corruption, rampant perversion. I could go on, but you get the picture. Our world needs a transcendent hope to turn to, and the Bible couldn't be more clear. Jesus came into the world to give hope of a better day coming, hope that there is a God who loves us deeply, and hope that miracles really do happen in and through the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know about you, but I need a fresh infusion of hope on a daily basis, and I find that hope in the pages of Scripture. The Bible presents a God who is literally called the God of all hope. And nothing presents this truth in a greater way than when He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whoever believes on Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Well, I can't wait to give you some hope today, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Christmas Hope, from our Christmas series, Behold.
Jesus will never be removed from your life once He's there. He is a hope that is sure and steadfast in the storms of life. And while you may lose money and you may lose things and you may lose possessions and career and many things in this world, but there is a treasure. His name is Jesus. And that treasure will never be stolen from you, and that is our hope. His name shall be the hope of the world. Now, there are two kinds of hope that you can cleave to. Very simply, true hope and false hope. Those are two very real hopes. And there are many people in our country today, many people I know, even this man I spoke with a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of false hopes in their life, but there's also true hope. You got to be careful what you put your hope in, because let me tell you something about human beings. Everybody listening today, everybody in this room, everybody watching my streaming video, and everybody that'll hear this on radio across the nation, have put your hope in something right now. Your hope is in something. I read recently of a group of boys who decided that a frozen pond had thick enough ice to walk out onto. And one of them went first, and he said, "It looks good to me." He placed his hope on what he was seeing. He placed his hope on what he believed about the ice, and he went ahead of the rest. And as he got out towards the center, you know what happened. There was a sound, a cracking sound. And all of a sudden, he crashed into the water and the ice broke. And luckily, his friends could get up towards the edge and grab his hand before he went down for the last time. And they pulled him up safely. But my point is that he had false hope. He had hope in something that failed him. He had hope in something that did not hold him up, that didn't support him. And it broke underneath him, and that's what false hope is all about. You put your hope in something, in some person, place, or thing. And right when it really matters, it gives way under you and down you go. And it does not support you like you thought that it would. True hope is based on two things. Listen carefully. True hope, real hope, Bible hope, is based on two things. A bulletproof guarantee and a guarantor who is trustworthy. Everybody say with me, guarantee and guarantor. Now let me show you the difference. You might remember the television commercial for a men's clothing store called Men's Warehouse. Everybody remember those commercials? I mean, they were on all the time. The founder of Men's Warehouse was named George Zimmer, and he was always the one on camera taking you from suit to suit, showing you these great-looking men's suits and telling you how little they cost, and you need to come to Men's Warehouse and buy one of these suits. And then here's what he would say at the end of every commercial. You already know the words, but here's what he would say at the end of every commercial. I guarantee it. He would show all these suits, give the prices, and then he would end it by saying, I guarantee it. I, George Zimmer, guarantee it. Now let me show you something. That means the founder of Men's Warehouse was the guarantor of the guarantee that you would be happy with the product. I guarantee it. The guarantee was only as trustworthy as the word of the guarantor. If you trusted George Zimmer's word, then you felt confident in George Zimmer's product. See, it wasn't Men's Warehouse that you trusted if you went to get a suit there. It was the man who had been on TV saying, I guarantee it. So you went to Men's Warehouse based on George Zimmer, the guarantor, telling you that the guarantee could be counted on because of the word and the promise of the guarantor. Everybody with me? Men's Warehouse was only as good as George Zimmer's word. To trust George Zimmer's word was to trust Men's Warehouse. Now listen, we celebrate Christmas and all that it stands for because we trust the guarantor behind it. Who happens to be not George Zimmer, but God. God promised us a Savior and said, I guarantee it. Oh, this is good stuff, folks. I'm about to put you on bedrock, solid rock. I'm about to tell you that our faith cannot be moved. I'm about to tell you that we've got a guarantor that you cannot argue with and that will never fail you and never walk out on you. And his promises are good because his character is good. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. Amen. So on the first Christmas morn, the promised Savior. He said, I'm going to send you a Savior. He said, I promise to send you a Savior and I guarantee it. He's coming. And on the first Christmas morning when Jesus was born, when he arrived in Bethlehem, the guarantor sent the guarantee and gave us a Savior, gave us a Redeemer. And we have unshakable hope in Jesus Christ because the guarantor is Almighty God. See, like the kids on the ice, you can place your hope in all kinds of things that have no trustworthy guarantor. And that's where false hope comes in. You put your hope in things that have no trustworthy guarantor. If you stop thinking about what you're hoping in, if it's not Jesus Christ, what are you hoping in? And whatever you're hoping in, your own mind, some other philosopher, some other religion, whatever it is you're hoping in, you need to look behind it. You need to look beyond it and say, what is the guarantor? Who is the guarantor of this hope that I have? Let me give you, for instance, you can place your hope in people. Oh, yeah, you can put, we know this with politicians, right? You can put all your hope in people. There's a lot of people angry in America today because people failed them. But the Bible says, listen, the Bible says if you put your hope in people, people will fail you. If your ultimate hope is in people, Your hope will fail you. King David prayed to God this prayer in Psalms 108, verse 12. He said, "Oh, please, help us against our enemies, for all human help is useless." Now, that sounds either cynical or it's true. How many of you have found that, oh, yeah, people are good. I love having people around. There's people I trust. But I know that with every person I trust, they could fail me. Yes. How many of you have seen that people will fail you? They'll betray you. They'll walk out on you. They'll let you down. They'll disillusion you. They'll disappoint you. And you have done the same with them. When Paul the Apostle was brought before Caesar, think about this. Here he is being brought before the Roman Caesar to testify of Jesus Christ. And he tells us in 2 Timothy, not one person in the church, not even one of his own converts, came to stand in solidarity with him. He said, "The first time I was brought before the judge, before Caesar, no one." Everybody say, "No one." In the Greek, that means no one. No one came with me. Listen to these next three words. Everybody abandoned me. Everybody. May it not be counted against them. Unfortunately, Paul stood there alone, but then he went on to say, "But the Lord stood with me." The Lord stood with me. You know why? Because the guarantor made the guarantee that the Savior he was sending would never walk out, would never leave us, would never forsake us. He told us that he would always be there with us, even unto the end of the world. So when everybody else walks out, let me tell you, Jesus will walk in, because the guarantor gave the guarantee, "I'm sending you a Savior that'll stick closer to you than a brother." Amen. That's the guarantee. But unfortunately, people betray one another. They walk out on one another. They pat you on the back one day and stab you in the back the next. We learned that in elementary school. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "Trust in God alone and lean not on the reeds of human help." So hope in man. If that's where your hope is, it's in man. It's going to be dashed on the rocks of disappointment. That ice will break. If that's where your hope is. And you can place your hope, and a lot of people do, in a religion or a philosophy or a belief that promises to take care of your eternal soul, and they are everywhere. But see, that's where it gets dicey. That's where it really gets dicey. Here's why. Because you better be especially careful what you place your hope in regarding the welfare of your soul, because Jesus said that there is nothing more valuable than your soul. See, you're eternal. Your body one day is going to die, but your soul is going to go on. That's what Jesus said. You are not just going to return to the dirt and cease to be completely, and that's it for you. There's nothing more. That's not it. Your body is going to die one day, and your soul is going to go on. Your soul is eternal. And Jesus said it's the pearl of great price. Jesus said it is the one thing that, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Your soul is more valuable than gold. It is a greater treasure than silver. Nothing can be compared to it, because it's going to go on and on and on forever. Amen. And forever is a very long time. So here's why it matters what your hope is in. If your hope is in some false religion, some false belief, or some false philosophy, you're putting a lot on the line there. The stakes are high. There's a million options floating around our society today of what you want to put your hope in for your soul. Philosophies that promise peace, beliefs that guarantee satisfaction, religions that promise heaven and eternal bliss. But there's only one. Can I be narrow and can I be unpolitically correct with you today? There's only one option you can put your hope in that has a guaranteed guarantor behind it. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And whatever your hope is in, you need to look behind it and see, now what's the guarantor? Is it just another man promising all this? Is it just another man telling me this is true, this is what I should put my hope in? Is it your own mind telling you this is what you should trust, either this or that? When it comes to your eternal soul and mine, you can't afford to make a good guess or a hasty decision, because you're placing your hope in something that regards your soul, that has eternal consequences. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why every week we give the invitation. Because people need to meet Jesus. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And behind the words of Jesus is a great guarantor, the creator of the world, who flung the stars into space, who carved out the Grand Canyon, who, as the poet said, spat out the oceans. The great creator of all things stands behind Jesus and says, I guarantee he's the Savior, and he will redeem you, deliver you, heal you, and you will be adopted into the family of God if you place your faith in him. The ice will not break. It will not give way. You will not be disappointed if you put your hope in him. Now, hold that thought, and let me just talk to you about Christmas for a minute. Because, you see, Christmas has both a guarantee and a guarantor. The Bible says that people from all over the world will one day, as soon as Jesus came and died and rose from the dead, that people from all the world will begin to put their hope in his name. Now, the first thing about Christmas is this. God promised us. Everybody say promised. A Savior. All the way back in Genesis, God promised a Redeemer. When he said to Satan, when Satan was being judged for his part in the fall, listen to what God said to Satan. He said in Genesis 2:15, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Is that not an uncanny prophecy of the spike going through the heel of Jesus? All the way back in Genesis 2. This is the very first prophecy in the entire Bible, Genesis 2:15. For me, Genesis 2:15 is the Old Testament's John 3:16. And it's the first Bible prophecy, and it was fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born as a baby in Bethlehem 2,100 years ago. Listen to the promises that are in this prophecy. He said God's plan would be centered on a specific person. He said, he will bruise Satan's head. Second, that person would be a man. That person would be a man. Third, he would enter the human race by being born of a woman. A virgin shall conceive. Fourth, he would do battle with Satan. He will crush Satan's head. Fifth, Satan would strike a blow against him, but would not defeat him. He would put a spike through his heel, but the spike through his heel and the spikes through his hands did not defeat him. He rose again from the dead. And sixth, he would ultimately crush Satan and his power, because there's one thing to strike somebody's heel, but if you strike the head, that's a death blow. This is prophesying that Satan will receive a death blow by this one male individual that would come forth from a woman. But God went further than just a promise. He then made an oath. Everybody say oath. Listen to the Bible. For instance, I'm quoting now, quote, for instance, there was God's promise to Abraham. His promise was that all the earth would be blessed through him by the coming of a Savior through his lineage. He made that promise, but then it goes on and says God took an oath in his own name, since there was no one greater to swear by. Now listen to verse 16. It's going to describe what an oath is. When a man takes an oath, he is calling upon someone greater than himself to force him to do what he has promised or to punish him if he later refuses to do it. The oath ends all argument about it. But since God couldn't pick a human to make an oath by, because there was nobody greater than him, it says in verse 17, God bound himself. Everybody say bound himself. With an oath, so that those he promised to help, that's you, that's me, would be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans. Amen. Now, verse 18, he has given us both his, say it with me, promise and his oath Two things we can completely count on, for it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. It is impossible for God to tell a lie. He said, I am sending a Savior, and I make an oath in my own name, based on my own character, that you can depend on it. And he will never walk out on you, never leave you, and I'm going to send you a Savior, and you can write it in cement. It is as good as done, because I, God, am the guarantor. So God made a promise, and he made an oath, making the guarantor of our hope in Jesus Christ, God himself. So say with me, God made a promise that was a guarantee. Whoever places his faith in Jesus Christ would be saved and delivered from the consequences of sin. And then God made an oath where he made himself the guarantor of the guarantee. God said, I'm going to send you a Savior. I guarantee it. And I hate to say it, but his word is better than George Zimmer. And so listen to verse 19. This certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So the Christian's hope will never leave him disappointed or feeling like a fool. Do you ever feel like a fool because you put hope in somebody and they let you down? Do you ever feel like the devil's fool or somebody else's fool? Raise your hand. Do you ever feel like the devil's fool or somebody else's fool? Don't be the devil's fool. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. And standing behind Jesus Christ is the greatest guarantor you could ever have, God Almighty. And he guarantees the minute you put your hope in Jesus Christ, he will never let you down, because your hope is anchored in a God who cannot lie, who made himself the guarantor of the guarantee that if you place your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you'll be delivered, you'll be redeemed, you'll be adopted into God's very own family. Done. Hallelujah. Now here's another part of the guarantee. Jesus said, I'm coming back. Yes. Jesus said, the day is going to come when the trumpet is going to blow, and I'm going to appear in the eastern sky. And when I do, I'm going to catch my church up. And folks, let me tell you something. You're going up. You know why? Not because I say it, not because some man said it, but because Jesus said it, and behind him is the guarantor of the guarantee that you're going up. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, we've got so many promises that are backed up by the great guarantor, God. So let me ask you again, what is your hope resting in today, really? Have you ever thought about it? What is your hope resting in? My Jewish friend that I sat down with, I could tell he hadn't really thought about it. He said to me, well, if life's just a crapshoot, this is what he said, and it turns out that there's really a God, then I'll be pleasantly surprised. And I reached out and I took him by the arm, and I said, you may be surprised, but not pleasantly. He said nothing. I said, think about it. What is your hope in? His hope was in science. His hope was in evolution. His hope was in all these things. And see, that's thin ice. It's going to break. But when your hope is in Jesus, you can stand on it, walk on it, sleep on it, live by it, and you can die by it. Because the guarantor gave the guarantee. Amen. He's going to escort you into glory one day. And before you get there, he's going to watch over you and keep you and strengthen you and change you and redeem you and give you joy inexpressible and full of glory. He's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you a destiny and a future where you can wake up filled with hope and say, I'm excited about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. And his name is Jesus.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message called Christmas Miracle in this sermon series entitled Behold. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.